All right, so tonight, a little preparation for Pesach next week. Is it next week? No, 2 weeks. I'm finished this week, yeah. So.
You're scaring us.
Yeah, I bet. We're looking at Pesachim Kuf Zayin Amud Beis, and really Kuf Chet. And we're not going to get to the sources, really, until Kuf Chet Amud Bet. But we'll start over here on the bottom, because it's good stuff. Another year, we could probably unpack almost every five lines of this Gemara. So we're starting at the bottom of Kuf Zayin Amud Beis, where it says, Rava Hava Shasi Chamra. Everybody see where I am? About four lines up, you have the small version. Okay, Rava Hava Shasi Chamra Kulei Male Yoma De Pischa. Kiheichi Denigrare Lelibe Denechol Matzatfe Laorsa. Anybody want to take a stab at what that means?
I was drunk.
Well, close. Yeah.
He was drinking.
He wasn't drunk, but he was drinking. Rava was drinking chamra, which is wine. He was drinking wine all erev Yom Tov. All Yoma de Pischa. All day. Mala Yomi de Pischa. Basically, on Yud Dalid, he was drinking wine all day. Why? Ki hechi denigrare lelibe denecho matzat fe laorsa. Because it would whet his appetite. It would make him more and more hungry for the meal at night, so he can eat more matzah. Okay. Amar Rava. Rava says, Mina la, the chamra migra gari. The question that we were going to ask Rava, so he wondered himself. How do I know that wine actually whets the appetite and doesn't actually make you satisfied, doesn't fill you up? Ditnan. Beina, yeah. Well, that's the real answer. Beina kosos halalu im ratzal ishtos yishta bein shlishi lervi lo yishta vi amres misad zayid amai yishta haka achil matza achila gasa elishma mina migra gare. Okay, so this quote at the top, where is it from, guys? Where does this come from?
From the Nick.
Comes from a Mishnah. Where is the Mishnah found? How do you know it's a Mishnah, Rabbi?
Nun.
Where does it come from? Hyperlink goes to?
It's cut off on our pages.
Oh, it is? I'm sorry. So I shouldn't be asking. Kuf Yud Zayin Amud Beis. That's where the Mishnah is. Kuf Yud Zayin Amud Beis. Almost the last one of the Masechta. What does it say? It says that between the second and the third kos of the Seder night, you're not allowed to drink any other kosot. I misspoke. Between the second and the third, you are allowed to drink. Between the third and the fourth, you're not allowed to drink. Mm-hmm. All right? Now, between the second and third, obviously you're allowed to drink. That's the meal. That's Shulchan Aruch. Between the third and the fourth, you're not allowed to drink. Why are you not allowed to drink? Well, there's a couple of answers. A couple of answers. One answer, the answer that you find in the Rishonim is that we don't want to make it look like we're having a fifth kos. See, if you drink it between the second and the third, then there's nothing to worry about. You're drinking because you're hungry, because you're thirsty, right? Even if you drink between the first and the second, that's also, you're just drinking because you want to drink, because you haven't eaten yet.
Right, you're drinking
but
wine. You're having four kosot, but you can drink as many of the first. It's as if you're drinking more of the first kos, or it's nothing to do.
Between the third and the fourth. You drink a third kos.
Third and fourth is, you can say it's part of the meal.
No, right? You can't, because the meal is over. You already made
Mikot HaMazon. Sorry, second and third.
Second and third, you can drink as much as you want.
You can drink between the first and second as much as you want?
In theory, that's actually, if you look at Rashi, it says, Beina koso talalu, im ratzal ishtos yishta, Rashi says it's between the first and the second. Right? And the second and the third, you can also drink. Because between the first and the second, right? And between the second and the, according to this Shita of the Rishonim, between the first and the second, and the second and the third, you could always say the reason I'm drinking is because I'm thirsty. Between the third and the fourth, you've already had the meal. You made Birkat HaMazon. You drank. Why would you be drinking right now? It must be because it's for a mitzvah. If you drink in between the third and the fourth, and then you drink again for the fourth, then that looks like a fifth kos.
And it's okay to drink wine if you're thirsty as opposed to anything else.
Yes.
Because at the period they were drinking wine casually.
Of course. They were allowed to drink wine. Now, we're going to get back to whether or not you're really allowed to drink between the first and the second.
Can you really drink wine as opposed to drinking water or something else?
In the middle of the meal?
No, not in the middle.
Between the third and the fourth?
Between one and two.
Between, okay, we're going to get back to... We'll get back to between one and two later, actually. We'll get back to one and two. Baltosif. Baltosif on the Durabana, which is surprising, but it is.
I've read a whole essay about the fifth cup in any case.
No, the fifth cup of Eliyahu.
Drinking a fifth that really is...
What, of Vilakach...
Right.
Yeah,
Vilakach. Veveti, right. But we don't. But we don't. We don't drink a fifth cup. So that's why you shouldn't do it. And then the Yerushalmi gives a different reason. It says you don't want to get drunk. If you start drinking, then you're gonna you still have more to do. You want to finish the Seder.
So why doesn't the Mishnah say you can't drink until the fourth cup as well?
You're not allowed to drink after the fourth cup.
Mishnah doesn't say that.
That's what we tell the Chacham. You're not allowed to drink after the fourth.
I'm saying that this Mishnah only says between third and fourth. It doesn't even bother saying after the fourth.
But so what? Well, it doesn't have to tell you that you're not.
If it doesn't tell you that, maybe the reason's something different. If it doesn't tell you that, maybe.
Oh, you're saying why didn't it say you're also not allowed to drink?
And you're also not allowed to drink after the fourth, exactly.
No, because well, then again. It's easy to tell when a person is drinking between the fourth and the fifth. Between the third and the fourth. The fourth, the guy's going to drink a cup, and then what? He's going to drink another cup? The Seder's over. The Seder's over. He drinks another cup. It's part of the fourth one, pretty much.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Is there a shear for maximum? Is there maximum shear for a cup?
Oh, we're going to get to there. We're going to get to that. Mm-hmm. But hold on. Let's roll it back for a second to figure out what the Gemara... Why did the Gemara bring this up? Why did the Gemara bring this up? Because the Gemara wants to say... Between the third and the fourth cup, we don't drink. Vi amrit, right on the second line. Vi amrit misad sa'id amay yishta haka'acha lamatza achilagasa. And if you think that the wine actually satiates you, right, drinking a lot of wine satiates you, then how would you be allowed to drink to begin with? You need to eat the matzah at the end, and it'll end up being an achilagasa. It'll end up being, which is an isser of Baal Tshaksu, it's excessive consumption. That's what the best way to translate achil gasa. Must be that drinking a lot of wine actually doesn't make you full. It really just whets your appetite. That's the message of here. That's where Rava got the idea. Okay, so Rava used to drink a lot of wine before the Seder in order to whet his appetite so that he could eat more at the meal. And obviously, that's what he did. Okay. Now we go the other direction. Rav Sheish, by the way, scientifically they've found that this is true. You don't need science to figure it out. If he did it, and he found that he was still hungry, then he could also figure it out.
Drinking wine makes you more hungry.
If you drink a lot of wine, you get more hungry. If you drink a little wine, you end up ruining your appetite. That's what new studies have shown.
On an empty stomach.
I guess so. Yeah. Well, he wasn't.
Clearly not.
If you had a full stomach, then you're not hungry anyway. You have a full stomach.
But you barely had a lot of wine and not getting hungry.
No, if you're full and you drink wine, you're not going to get hungry. If you're an empty stomach and you drink a bit of wine...
Well, you're going to go to sleep.
Yeah.
Here now we go in the other direction. Rav Sheshes, Avayasev B'Tanisa Kol Malo Yom HaDePischa. Rav Sheshes used to fast on Erev Pesach. Now, lest we think that, okay, we're all supposed to fast. Erev Pesach, Tanis Bechorim, right, is supposed to fast. This is not that. That's very, very late. It's Mesach HaSofrim. It's not anywhere in the Bavli. He just used to fast on Erev Pesach. We'll see why in a second, but he used to fast on Erev Pesach. Why, by the way, I was listening to Rabbi Rasner yesterday. While preparing, why do we have Tanis Bechorim? Why does that exist?
Because they skipped on the Bechorim of Bnei Israel.
So
the Shbuch skipped the Makas Bechorim.
So usually, so in other words, what? In other words, they're fasting because
commemoration.
In commemoration of the fact that they survived, something like that.
Yeah.
Well. Basically, they're celebrating the fact that they survived, right?
Right.
Okay. Usually, when you celebrate,
you don't.
You make a kiddush. I mean, right? Yeah. There should be a kiddush bechorim.
There is.
Before Shabbos Hagadol. Is there?
That's what we do.
Do we do that?
We have a theorem. We have a theorem when we eat.
Right, but that's not.
Feeling a little bit sorry for the.
So that's what I would have said. I would have said it's we're but then that sounds strange. We're fasting for the Egyptian Bechorim.
We do that all the time. We still have pity on them.
Right, but it doesn't. You don't get the indication that that's what's going on. We could all fast for the Egyptian Bechorim.
Make it more holy. It's like to do the day that you fast. It's like more serious.
So
to do a tshuva or a tikkun because you should have been killed, but you weren't. Right. Space, exactly. So you should do like a
that could be. Well, another version of that is actually to say that they're commemorating the Jewish Bechorim who did fast that night.
Oh.
Now, this could be an invention, but the idea is that you would expect that if they knew that this kind of thing was going on, then maybe they did fast the day of, not that night, but the day of, in preparation. Right?
Why do we fast on Tiny Desk?
Well, that's a great question. There's a lot of answers to that, but one answer, actually, is to commemorate the fact that they fasted that day.
I'm saying, is it not a parallel thing?
Yeah, it's very much
parallel. Everybody fasted, everybody was saved. Here
very reasonable, morning. Very reasonable. No, they may have fasted on the day of Tanis Esther, in the year of Esther.
No. But they everybody fasted. Right. We didn't fast the first one. We can do three days next year.
But it wasn't that day. It couldn't have been that day. Been
who?
In the
real Bechorim. Yeah.
So we if you came with us to to Gruss, Rabbi Ben Asher's teaching. Oh, you were there. Yeah. So you remember Rabbi Tam cited that no, the Jewish people fasted on Yud Dalid Adar, which was the day of the war, because that's the Minhag Yud.
That's not Tanis Esther.
Yes, it is.
That's not the three. No, today is
Tanis. And Yud Gimel Adar.
That's not the 3 days of fasting.
That's the point. The Tanis Esther is not in commemoration of the 3 days of fasting. It's not. It's a commemoration of the. According to Ibn Tam, it's the commemoration of the fasting of the war.
Then it's not, as it were, Tanit Esther, the 3 days that Esther tells everybody.
It's called Tanit Esther for whatever reason, but it's not that. You're right. It's not the fast that Esther fasted. Yes.
It's not the one you would immediately associate.
You're right.
Because then you have to fast 3 days.
And you'd have to fast during Pesach. Okay. So, Rav Sheish is just a fast on the day of. But for a totally different reason. Neima kasav Rav Sheish is samach lemincha gdola. So now, keep in mind that we're in Arbei Pesachim. Arbei Pesachim began with the idea that you're not supposed to eat. Why do we fast?
Yeah.
No, so I said one answer is that it's in commemoration of the Bechorim fasting that year. That day.
It's a relatively new thing, you said also. It's not a
Gemara. It's in the Masechah Sofrim. It's not a Gemara.
Really? Yeah.
Yeah. So, neither is Tanis Esther. Not in the Navi. Yom the Pesach Neima Kasavar of Sheishes Samach Lemincha Gdola Tnan. So, the beginning of the whole Perek was about what you're not allowed to do close to Yom Tov or close to Shabbos. Right? You have to stop doing things Samach Lemincha and like taking haircuts and even learning and different things like that, you have to start preparing. So they say maybe Rav Sheshes wasn't eating because he believed that Samach Lemincha means Samach Lemincha Gedola, right? Samach Lemincha could mean Samach Lemincha Ktana, which is an hour and a half before, two and a half hours before Shkia, but it could also mean much earlier, right? Mincha Gedola is much earlier. So if it's Mincha Gedola Tanan, umishum Pischahu, he was worried, he was concerned, he said that you need to stop doing everything, you're not allowed to eat once it's samach to the time of bringing the Korban Pesach. And if you're allowed to bring the Korban Pesach from the time of Mincha Gedola, that means that you have to stop samach to Mincha Gedola. But then he says even further, and then he said even further that it could be that Korban Pesach could be brought even in the morning of the 14th, which means that the entire day from the beginning of the morning is actually you're able to start bringing the Korban Pesach. So that's why he used to fast. In other words, the reason that they give the beginning for Rav Sheshes' fasting is because it's time to bring the Korban Pesach. Just like when it's time for Kriyashma, you're not supposed to eat. So it's time to bring Korban Pesach, you're not supposed to eat.
But Rav Sheshes didn't have a Korban Pesach.
You're right. Maybe not. We don't know. This would be another good possible source. He may have either felt that, no, the minhag is that we're not supposed to eat at all because of commemoration, maybe. Maybe it's Zeichel HaMikdash, or maybe he did bring a Korban Pesach. We have no idea.
You know. Sheshes was in Bavel, wasn't he?
He was in Bavel, yeah. Sheshes was in Bavel. So he probably
pretty unlikely.
Yeah, probably pretty unlikely that he used to bring a Korban Pesach, so maybe it was just Zeichel HaMikdash. Now, the Gemara rejects this. The Gemara says, Nami, lo, 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 lo. Shani, Rav Sheshes, the Istin is Havana. Rav Sheshes was a very delicate person. Rav Sheshes was also blind, by the way. But he was a very delicate person. And therefore, the Itayim B'tzafra, Midi Loris, Elav, Mahani, Le'michle. In this case, Istinus means he was very sensitive. He knew that if he ate anything in the morning, he wouldn't even be able to eat that night. Right? He was very frail, skinny. You know, he used to not eat much. And so even if he ate in the morning, he wouldn't be able to eat at night. That's why he fasted all day, because he was worried that he wouldn't be able to eat properly at night. Okay? All right, now we start the sugya that I wanted to really sink our teeth into. V'afilu ani shebi Yisrael lo yochel ad sheyesef. Right? Everybody has to drink four kosos, and everybody has to do it beheseba. Even poor people have to drink four kosos and drink it beheseba. Now, why does, by the way, why does the Gemara make a big, why does the Mishnah make a big deal about poor people having to have wine? Because even if they can't afford it, they still have to.
It's an obligation on the community.
And but the point is, though, that they must, they even need to sell the shirt off their back to buy wine. What other mitzvot do we have?
They don't talk about the wine. The seva.
You're right. I'm pointing it out. Okay. Yeah. In a different Gemara, it talks about how they have to sell the shirt off their back. What other mitzvot do they have to sell the shirt off their back to do?
Kiddush, Neirot Shabbat.
The Gemara doesn't say Shabbos. Neirot Hanukkah. Hanukkah, the Gemara says.
Meant something captive?
That's pretty much it, because, well, I don't know, something captive.
No.
No. It's anything that's got presume Nisa. So in theory, Megillah also, but I'm not sure how they would, you know, I guess to buy a plane ticket to go somewhere to hear the Megillah or something. But for presume Nisa, they need to sell the shirt off their back. It's machlokas whether or not they have to sell the shirt off their back for Shabbos candles.
Is this where the expression comes from?
Sell the shirt off the back?
I
don't know. So, Itmar, right? There's a discussion amongst the Amoraim. Matzah tzarech haseba, maror ein tzarech haseba. Halacha is that matzah haseba is leaning over on your left side, right? The way to lean over the left side, by the way, of course, is to lean on something, not to just kind of like lean in the air. That's not leaning. You can lean on something, you can lean on someone, if you want, you can do that. It's enough if you have like an armrest, you can go like that. And you always lean to the left side, and the Gemara is going to say why. So matzah needs a seba. When you eat matzah, you need to do a seba, at least for the first mitzvah, and probably for the afikoman, although it's not so clear. Matzah tzarech haseba, maror ain't tzarech haseba. You don't need to do it for maror, because haseba is something that you do as a sign of cherus, and maror is the opposite. Maror is a sign of avdus, so you're not going to do haseba during maror.
You don't have to, or you're not?
You don't. I mean, you could in theory, but you don't have to. There's no mitzvah to. Itmar mishmei de Rav Nachman, tzarech haseba. Rav Nachman thinks that it does. V'itmar mishmei de Rav Nachman, ain't tzarech haseba. Some say that, you know, some versions say that you do. And so, sorry, I skipped a line. Yayin, itmar mishmei de Rav Nachman, tzarech haseba. V'itmar mishmei de Rav Nachman, ain't tzarech haseba. What about for drinking the kosot? So some versions of Rav Nachman say that you do need it. Some versions say that you don't need it. V'lo pligi. And the truth is, they're not separate versions. It's the same. It's the same teaching. Ha batarte kose kamai, ha batarte kose batrai. But one version is talking about the first two kosot, and the other version is talking about the second two kosot. In other words, two of the four kosot need haseba, and two of them do not. Amri la lahai gisa, v'amri la lahai gisa. And there are two different explanations that explain why either set might or might not need. Haseba the hashta, sorry, trei kasi kamai bo haseba. One version says that the first two needs haseba. The hashta udekamat chala lacheros trei kasi ba trei lo bo haseba ma'ida hava hava. One version says that since the first two kosot are basically at the beginning of the Haggadah, about the beginning of the cheirut process, so that's what you need to do it for. And once you get to the third and the fourth, the Haggadah is already over. You finished Magid, you finished the Seder, so Maida Hava Hava. We already finished the experiential part of the Seder, and therefore we don't need that anymore. Rami Alahaiki said the opposite. Adraba, Trekoziba Trai Boseba Haishata da Kahavya Cherus, Trekozika Milo Boseba da Kati Abade Mayinu Kamar. What do you mean? The last two, that's when you're actually free. That's when the Haggadah is over, that's when you're free. The first two, you're still an Eved. So It makes sense either way. So the Gemara says an interesting thing. It says, well, since we see that they both make sense, it makes sense to do for the first two, and it also makes sense to do for the second two, what should we do?
All four.
Now, what could we have done? We could have done none. Why didn't we do none? Well, okay. Why would we do none? What would be a reason to do none? Well, let's think and learn in terms of how halachot usually work. It's a darabana. It's a mitzvah darabana to drink the arba kosos beheseva. Heseva is not a mitzvah daraita. If you're not sure, so you know, for each one, the first kos, do I need to do a seba? We don't know. Safik lukula. Second one, do I need it? We don't know. Safik lukula. Third one, we don't need it. Safik lukula. Why do we have to do a seba on any of them?
Well, seba is hard.
What do you mean?
I mean, you're not putting yourself out.
Oh. So the Ran gives two reasons. One is what Ravi just said. That's the boring, lazy answer. Which is to say, stop kvetching. Stop kvetching. What's the big deal? Just lean over. Right? The reason why we do it for all four is because it's not hard. It doesn't cost any money. You don't have to do anything. You just lean over and you drink. Okay. But the other answer, which is very interesting, is, well, there's a mitzvah of Eseba, right?
Is it about eating that?
Right, but the point is, if we didn't do it for the first two, and we didn't do it for the second two, we didn't do any, then we're just not doing the mitzvah. You can't say Safik Darabanan Lekula when it means that you're basically obliterating the mitzvah. That's not what the rabbis instituted a mitzvah, and they instituted a rule called Safik Darabanan Lekula. You can't combine those to just say, well, it doesn't make sense. You can't just cancel it out.
Israel said that when they eat the matzah, of course they need to do it in the same place. We're talking about the drinking the wine.
Well,
we're talking about the cups.
You could do the leaning while you
That's when that's part of the mitzvah. Part of the mitzvah is to drink it beheseba. Whether it's a mitzvah heseba, whether a mitzvah of how to drink the wine, either way, the rabbis instituted a mitzvah. You can't take Safik Darabanan Lekula and use it to just basically whitewash the whole mitzvah out of the playbook. It doesn't make sense.
No, what we're saying is that when he eats the matzah, it's obvious that he needs to do it in the seba.
Yes, that is obvious. He has to do
the
seba.
He's doing the mitzvah of the seba.
You're assuming that, okay, so haseba is a separate mitzvah, right, that if you fulfilled it already by the matzah, then you don't have to do it by the arba kosos. Okay, but that's not so clear that that's the way it works. Could be that haseba. It's more likely that haseba is a mitzvah inside of each act to which it applies. So the kosot and matzah. It's a part of the mitzvah. The rabbi said you have to lean while you're drinking the kosher kosher. It seems trivial?
Yeah.
You mean it's so easy?
Yeah.
Right, that was the first answer that the Ran gave. The first answer that the Ran gave is the reason why we do it on all four is because it's easy. But it's not very satisfying because, okay, so if it wasn't easy, then we wouldn't do it? So his second answer is no. The reason why we do it on all four is because we can't decide which ones to do it. So we could pick two, or we could just do all four, but we're definitely not going to do zero, because then we obliterate the mitzvah. Where's another possible example of this? Let's say you live in a place where you're not sure if you should be reading the Megillah on Yud Daled or on Tesvav.
You can't do neither.
So you don't know. So why don't you just say, well, Safik Darabanan, I don't know if I should read it today, and I don't know if I should read it tomorrow, so I won't read it. So according to the Ran, no, you wouldn't say that. Maybe you'd read it in both. Maybe you'd obligate it to go somewhere else, but you can't just say, Safik Darabanan Lekula, I'm out.
Could you possibly say that the kula is lean?
What do you mean?
It's easier to lean. It's fast to lean. That could be the easier.
It's not easier to lean. It's not easier to lean. You have to go out of your way to lean, especially nowadays.
Yeah. So why not drink eight cups and be yotzik on a third?
How eight?
Eight. Each time you drink one leaning.
Win without? No, obviously it's not a pagam. It's not. You're not ruining anything by doing it beheseba if you don't have to do it beheseba.
Well, except according to the opinion that you...
No, you don't lose anything by doing
it beheseba.
No, no. Okay. So, praktan. Okay, how do you do beheseba? So, praktan, losh meheseba. What's praktan? That means lying flat. Can you drink the wine lying flat? Now it's interesting, there's a machlokes rishonim here. What does lying flat mean? Because it could mean one of two things. Praktan, lying flat, could mean lying on your stomach. or it can mean lying on your back.
In your side.
What? So if you look on the left side, well, let's see. No. By definition, praktan is on your back or on your front. By definition, it means to lie prone, which is on your back or on the front. And the side would be haseba.
No, if you lay on your side.
No, that's not praktan. Praktan is like straight flat. Either on your back.
You're literally 180 degrees completely right. Flat, not.
Back on the floor. Back on the floor or stomach on the floor? Exactly, so...
It's going to get messy.
So look, if you look at the left side, so Tosas says... So look at the left side on Tosas, the second to last Tosas, Praktan, he says, Panav Lamala, it means at least face up, Veloka Mefaresh, not like the Mefaresh, which is the Rashi over here, Panav Lamata, and not like the opinion that says... Panav lamata. Imagine trying to drink it face down. Because nobody would eat like that. Okay, you don't have to read the whole thing. By the way, where else are we? Do we care about praktan? Famous Gemara in Brachos about Rav Yochanan and how you're supposed to say kriyashma. You're not supposed to say kriyashma praktan. The Gemara says you're not supposed to be on your back. So the Gemara says, where are you supposed to be? You're supposed to be sitting up. You can lean on your arm, but you could be sitting up, but you're not supposed to lay on your back. So then the Gemara says, but Rav Yochanan used to laying down. So yeah, Rav Yochanan was overweight. And so it was hard for him to sit up and hard for him to lean on his arm. So that's why he used to do that. But everybody else has to do it sitting up.
By the way, Rashi here says the same stuff.
For right, I think Mefarish over here is not Rashi. I misspoke. Mefarish over here is somebody else. Okay. By the way, just so you know, on the top right is Rashi, and the bottom right is Rashbam, his grandson. The Rashbam, as in all Masechtot, he thinks he's art scroll. He just takes over the page. He thinks he has to explain. You know, I'm serious. He thinks he has to explain every single word with like 20 lines. He does it here. He does it in Baba Basra. You see. Okay. Where are we? Praktan loshme haseba. Haseba is yamin loshme haseba. Leaning to your right is also not considered haseba. Why? Leaning to your right is not considered haseba. Velo od ela shema yaktim kana leveshet. V'yavol li sekana. And also, it's a problem because basically it says you're going to choke because of the way that if you lean the wrong way, then you're going to choke. That's what it seems to be saying.
Right, okay. Or left is going to make a difference on whether you choke or not.
So look at the Rashbam. So if you look at the Rashbam, the second wide line, Haseba Yamin Lav Shmei Haseba Sharei B'Yamino Hu Tzarich Le'achol. He has to eat with his right hand. That's basically according to the Rashbam. That's why it's leaning on his left. Shema Yagdim Apraktan Kais. The Rashbam says that when it says Shema Yagdim, that's actually referring to the danger of laying down while eating. He starts describing the way that the esophagus and the windpipe work, that one of them is behind the other, which is not true. They're next to each other. So that's why he explains why you're not supposed to lay praktan. But if you look at Rashi, his grandfather, if I remember correctly, Rashi's grandfather above him, so he says, Shema Yaktim. Hold on. Maybe I made a mistake here. Second. No. Sorry, don't look at Rashi. Everything the Rashbam just said was Rashi. you should have kept going. That was his grandfather, right? That's what Shlomo Yitzchaki, his grandfather, said. V'kashali, he says, I don't understand. But he says, textually, it doesn't make sense because... That means that this line of Shema Yaktim Kana Leveshet goes back two lines. It goes back to the praktan. Why do they put the Hesebas Yamin Lo Shema Haseba in between? Right? You guys following?
Okay.
It says praktan, then it says Yamin, and then it says Shema Yaktim Kana Leveshet. If Rashi was right, then it would have said praktan, Shema Yaktim Kana Leveshet, and then Yamin. So he says, must be, it's talking about Hesebas Yamin. Rabbi Zeh Pirushu Shema Yaktim Kana Leveshet Deveshet Havi Al Tzad Yamin V'niftach hakol b'shal pi kana me'elav, k'shumata klapa yamin. V'im yikanis bo ha'machal, ha'reisa kana she'en ochlin u'mashkin. So it's almost like they're arguing about the metzias. According to the Rashbam, the problem is that the windpipe is next to the esophagus, and by leaning on the right, what's going to happen is that it's going to push down on it. It's going to make it harder. I forgot, one of them is wrong. I forgot, I said before that that the back and forth one is wrong, but I'm not actually sure.
You don't have a doctor.
Yeah, so the Rashi is right, and it is behind. Yeah, Rashi is right that the esophagus is behind. Yeah, you would think that, I mean, Rashbam, it's in the science books, it's in, you know, they have cadavers, they knew the anatomy. So the article gives an explanation, and it says there are anatomical differences between the left and the right side. The right bronchus branches off the windpipe into the right lung at a far more gradual angle than the left one does into the left lung. That might account for why leaning on the right side presents a choking hazard, whether it's leaning on the left side does not. In other words, there is something to be said for it, but anatomically speaking, Rashi is correct that it's one behind the other and not next to each other.
Could you explain why you can't laugh prone?
And the left side would be about using your right hand.
Okay.
Right? But the Rashbam thinks that the left side is both about using your right hand, but also about the fact that it's dangerous. Prapton is dangerous because, of course, it's dangerous.
And impossible.
Yeah. Anyways. Okay. Isha Eitzel Ba'ala. Lo bay haseba. A wife, while her husband is there, does not need to do haseba. V'imisha chashuva hi tzricha haseba. But if she is an important woman, a respectable, noble woman, then she does. What's going on over here? So what's going on over here? So what's going on over here? So four lines up from the bottom, the Rashbam says, Mipnei emas bala ukfufala. Because she has respect or fear of her husband, and she's subordinate to him, and therefore she's not supposed to do haseba because it's disrespectful. She's not going to do haseba in front of her husband. So the Rama, well, let's start at the beginning. So the Rav Yah, one of the early Rishonim, so he was of the opinion that, I forget if the Rav Yah or the Ravan, I'm not sure. He said that we don't have to do this anymore at all. We don't do haseba. Haseba, what was it? Haseba was the way that people used to, who were very wealthy, that's the way they used to eat. They used to lay on a couch, and they used to eat like this. That's how they used to eat. So it was a sign of wealth, and a sign of freedom. But we don't have that. So for us, it's just it's a pain. It's unnatural to do that. We don't pasuk in that way. Neither the Shulchan Aruch nor the Ramah accepts that position. We do haseba, because that's the mitzvah d'rabbanan to do it, even if it just reminds us of a time when that used to be meaningful. Nevertheless, the Ramah says that nowadays all of our women are considered chashuvot. That's what he says. So nowadays the women do recline, because nowadays all of our women are considered chashuvot. So it becomes academic whether or not they should or shouldn't, because they should.
We just wait like the husband's considered chashuvot.
Okay. Now, ben etel aviv b'haseba. Interestingly, in that time, that means that the son was less afraid of her, well, I don't know if afraid is the right word, but was required less ema than even the wife at that time. So, ben etel aviv b'haseba. Ibayilahu. So then they ask, what kind of question is Ibayilahu?
Svara. No.
Information getting question. Just information. There's no arguing. It's just information. Ibailahu. Talmid etzel rabo mai. What about a Talmud with his Rebbe? Tashma. Amar baye. Ke avinan be mar. Ziginan abirche dahadade. Ki asin. So when we used to be by our first Rebbe, so we used to all recline. We used to all, do a seba. And there was no issue. But then, ki asinan labe Rav Yosef, when we went to Rav Yosef's house, Amarlan lo tzrichtu, mora rabcha kamora shamayim. He says you shouldn't be doing aseba, you don't have to do aseba, because mora rabcha, which is me, is like mora shamayim. Says you have to respect me. And therefore you don't need to do aseba. He was demanding respect. The truth is, I know of a Rav who was a Rosh Kolel in one of the camps, who it was known in the summer, like he was like very, very demanding of kavod. And if you knew him, you knew it wasn't out of gaiva. It was just he felt that from a tzad of chinuch, that it was important that they treat him as kind of like as a rushish, as a, you know, the rush kolo. And it was good for the boys more than it was for him. To the degree where like he would require that after dinner on a Friday night, so everybody would dance him to the kolal, like they danced in front of him. Now, and he was right, because it was like a chavaya for all of the guys. We enjoyed it. But it was interesting that, you know, it's kind of along those lines that Rav Yosef was demanding that kavod, but no doubt it wasn't because, in fact, Rav Yosef, right, what does the Gemara say at the end of Sota? Some of my favorite Gemaras. Rav Yosef was blind, but aside for that.
He says that there's no more.
No, he was no. He doesn't say that. It was Rabbi, but there are the Dapim at the end of Sota, like Membez, I think, has some of the most beautiful Gemaras about his Anava. There's a story, one of my favorite stories, where he was teaching a class, and when they used to teach a class, they didn't have microphones. So they had a mitar game. Right? There was a person who basically would project his voice after he would say things, and basically there was one time where he would say things, and the mitar game would just say something different, just make up stuff, because he thought he knew better than Rav Yosef, and Rav Yosef didn't say anything. He didn't respond at all. And there was another time where the mitar game's wife went to his wife and said, you know, she doesn't even need your husband to really be saying anything. He could give the shiur by himself. And the wife told Rav Yosef, and Yosef says, okay, whatever. It's not a big deal. It doesn't, you know, what's the difference whether I say it, whether he says it? It doesn't matter. He was totally, you know, not of the type of a person that would require a gaiva. But here you see that he would say, Mora Rabcha Kamor Shamai. He said, just as a fact, you should treat your Rebbe that way. The Gemara continues. And says something interesting. It says, Meisive. What kind of question is Meisive, guys?
From higher source.
Im im hakol adam meisav, vafilu talmidei tel rabo, kitanya hahi b'shul. It says that everybody has to, everybody, you have to do haseba in front of everybody. Even a talmidei tel rabo should also do it. So which one is it? Should a talmidei tel rav do aseba, or should he not do aseba? Rav Yosef made it sound like he should not do aseba, but this one says that afilu talmid etzel rabba should do aseba. How would you answer up this kind of question? Question is, does the talmid do aseba in front of the rabbi or not? So one says he does, one says he doesn't.
Need a third source.
That's okay, and then what? What do you do with the third source? Third source is going to just decide it, and then what do you do with the other source? It's not a third source. Our source is Rav Yosef. He's an Amora, so this is a Brisa or a Mishnah. Right. So he loses.
Yeah, the Tanya, the Mishnah.
You know, distinction.
Oh, excellent. So what kind of distinction are we going to make here? So on face value, the Gemara makes a very strange distinction. Kitanya hai b'shulya denegri. No. When it says afilu talmid etzel rabo, that's an apprentice carpenter by his master teacher carpenter. That's what it meant by talmid etzel rabo, which is kind of weird. It's like, does the Gemara ever mean that when it says talmid etzel rabo? It's a very strange answer. So Rabbi Soloveitchik actually used to have a shtickle about this, where he says, no, it's all talking about rabbis and students of Torah. Says, but there are different kinds of students. There are some students, this is the way he said it, there are some students that kind of pick up just the shtick of the Rebbe and don't pick up any of the Torah. And then there are students that pick up the Torah and they ignore the shtick. So when it says that you have to have Mora Rabcha, so obviously that's the ones who pick up the Torah. When it says the Talmidei Tzel Rabo, like a carpenter, so that's the people who pick up the shtick. Now, this is the way Rav Shachter presented. I would have said something different. I would have said actually much along the same lines, but actually A little bit, seems reasonable to me. There are some students who pick up not only the Torah, but also the midos of their Rebbe. Right? They try to model their lives after the Rebbe. Those are the ones that have to have more Mora, obviously. They would not do Aseba. And then there are some students who are just there for the Torah. They learn the Torah from the Rebbe. He's basically like a carpenter. You don't pick hanhagos up from the carpenter. You pick up how to do carpentry from the carpenter, right? You learn how to do your trade.
But this is a mitzvah. This is a mitzvah. There's a mitzvah on the Talmud as well to lead.
To do haseba.
Yeah.
Right. So the reason why he doesn't do haseba though is because he has to have more respect for his rebbe, and the respect for his rebbe overrides the mitzvah derabanan of haseba. It's disrespectful to be leaning over in front of your rebbe. That was what we said for the women as well, potentially. In a situation where you have to have more respect.
It makes sense in a situation where it wasn't a mitzvah. Saying if you go to him on a Tuesday or Shabbos,
right,
you shouldn't lie like this in front of your
rebbe. Right.
But It's like saying, well, he shouldn't have four cups of wine.
So the extension is that the rabbi in question here is not looking at his students and thinking how disrespectful they are for leaving.
But they have
think each one of them.
We just said they can't obliterate the mitzvah completely.
Right.
They can, you know, they can't choose the last two cups, the two cups, and they can't say that.
Right.
But here they say, it just feels like it's
not obliterating because other people are going to do it, right? You know that.
Mitzvah running against each other. You've got Sarah, which is the Rabbanan, and you've got
but I think what Raylan and Daniel are saying.
It's exactly what Rabbi Yosef has said. The argument I gave is what Rabbi Yosef has done. Yeah. He's actively gone and said, you do not need to lean.
Correct.
Right? Because I'm here or whatever else.
I think it'd be more practical to look at it like this. I mean, we don't understand the Sefer very much these days because we don't do it. But let's say a sign of freedom that you wanted to show was to turn up in shorts and a t-shirt because that just feels good, right? So
right.
If you're in your own house,
right.
You want to feel free, shorts and a t-shirt. If you go into your Rebbe for Pesach Seder,
right.
Then you don't turn up in shorts and a t-shirt, even though that is a sign of being freedom and relaxation.
Right.
And he'll be there in shorts and a t-shirt.
Right. No, but I think Daniel and Rael's point is well taken, which is that, you know, the Rebbe will understand. He'll understand that you're doing this because of the mitzvah. Yeah. So it's an interesting thing where... Yeah.
It might be uncomfortable for the Talmud also. I mean,
right.
In that example, for example.
True.
And even if it was a mitzvah to wear shorts and a t-shirt to show relaxed...
You wouldn't want
to. If you went to your Rebbe, you would have the opposite effect if you turned
right.
Shorts and a t-shirt.
Right, that's true. Okay. Okay. Ibayilu, another question. Shamish... Mai. So you have a person, a meltzar, you have a waiter at the table. So he's also part of the meal to a degree, right? Because he's also got to do the mitzvah that night. So what does he do? Does he do haseba while he drinks the wine? Because he's also the waiter. So, Dama Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi, Hashamish achal kazayis matzak shu mesav yata, mesav in, lo mesav lo. Shmamina baya seba shmamina. So he has to do it during matzah. So if he's going to drink wine, also he has to do it. By the way, what's
how is it that you can have a Jewish waiter? I mean,
what do you mean?
No, he's got an obligation in Seder.
To do also Seder, you mean?
Yeah, he's got an obligation in Seder. He's got. I mean, you go to the point where you say even the poorest has to have four cups of wine. The whole issue is that he's free to.
What's the status?
I don't know. Maybe he sits with them.
Maybe that's the deal. The says to him, "You come and serve me at the meal. I'll give you four cups of wine."
Maybe he sits with them.
What's to say that he's not sitting in the room between?
Yeah, we don't know what it looks like. I don't know what it looks
also,
like.
Also, it's not South Africa. Maybe there were no non-Jews there.
Maybe there are no mates.
They're all Jews.
You're right. It's a South African.
No, but what's critical about this though is that it says that if he has the matzah leaning, then he's yod. Say, but if he doesn't, then he's not Yotze. Now, on the face of it, what does that mean? He's not Yotze what? For instance. What? Well, here's matzah. So is he not Yotze in the midst of matzah? No, it's matzah here. It happens to be matzah. It's the same for kosot, but here it happens to be matzah. So does that mean he's not Yotze in the midst of matzah? If he doesn't do it with a seba?
Maybe the mitzvah of a seba.
Or is it the mitzvah of a seba? I mean, but it's strange to say that. He's not yotze the mitzvah of a seba if he doesn't do a seba?
Right.
That's weird. It almost sounds like he's not yotze the mitzvah of matzah, which is strange. I don't think anybody would say that he's not yotze the mitzvah d'oraita of matzah, because a seba is only d'rabanan. But it sounds like maybe there's an extra element here which is required, right? Of doing haseba for matzah, and then if you don't do it, you have to go back and do it again. That's what we mean when we say he's not yotze, which is something to keep in mind, that if you don't do it correctly with haseba, you should have to go back and do it again. Right? Hopefully we'll have time to get back to that, although it doesn't look like it. Alright, now a big line. I'm Rabbi Shmuel Levi. Nashim chayavos ba'arba kosos halalu. Women have to have the four kosos. We could have a whole shiur just on this line. We're not going to. By the way, every time, where else do you see Af Hen Hayu Bo Oto Anes? Chanukah and
Purim.
It's always Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi saying it. He's the one always saying it.
Feminist.
Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi. He's always the one saying it. His reason is always Af Hen Hayu Bo Oto Anes. Now, you'll notice that all three of those mitzvot are Durabanan. This, our Tosos over here talks about that fact. If you look at the top Tosos, so just look at that right now. Says, because if it wasn't for the fact that they were be'oto anes, there would be pturos. Now, why is that eye-opening? Because this mitzvah, anyways, is only durabanan. So he says, see, we could have imagined a situation where any mitzvah the rabbis institute, the women should be obligated in them, even if it is zman grama. Because zman grama is something that applies only to d'oraisa. Maybe it doesn't apply to d'rabanan. No. Even mitzvah d'rabanan, you have to worry about whether or not it's zman grama or not. And the rabbis had to add on afen hayu b'otones in order to obligate women. Look at the next one, because it's also important. Perish rashram shal yadam nigalu. Right? I don't want to spend too much on them on this, but the Rashbam says it's because they were responsible, partially, for the Geula. For the Rashbam, the reason why, here and in the other two places as well, women are obligated is not stam because they were also in the miracle, but because they were responsible somehow for the miracle. It's a story. Vikasha. And Tosos famously asks on the Rashbam, says that's a very nice idea. It makes a lot of sense, but it doesn't fit with the words. Because the words are af hen hayu bo'oto anes. They were also part of the nes. The af mashma she'en an ikar, that they're not an ikar part of it. V'od, di b'yushalmi garish she'af hen hayu bo'oto suffik, that they were in the danger, that they were in danger just like the men. Mashma bo'oto sakana, de lahashmi la'arugu la'abid. So it's hard to understand like the Rashba. It sounds like it's really just because they were also in the danger. Which, how would you explain that? So you would say, it's a mitzvah pirsum enisa. So if they were saved, they were also saved. So that's why they have to do it. That's what I would say. What about the fact that they're pturos misukkah? Weren't they also part of the miracle of sukkah? Whatever sukkah is commemorating, the women are part. Were there. Women were part of the miracle. Whatever miracle it was, they were there. Right? So why shouldn't they be obligated in Sukkah? They're not.
Sukkah's not commemorating a
miracle? It's commemorating some miracle. Whether it was somehow the booths that was somehow a miracle, or whether it was the Anani HaKavod, which Paskins the Anani HaKavod, they should have the obligation to sit in Sukkah as well, but they don't. So here's a big rule. What did Tosas just say? Tosas said something very surprising, that women are obligated via afhena yubotones only for derabanans. That rule of afhena yubotones can only be invoked for a mitzvah derabanan, which is a surprising thing. Right, we don't have time to get deeply into it, but it's important to see that. All right. Really, this whole shiur was supposed to be for the next few lines, but we're not going to have time to really, really dig in, hopefully a little bit. Amar Yehuda. Amar Shmuel. Arba akosos halalu. Tzarech sheyehe bahen. G'day mezigas kos yafe. They have to have a few things. Number one, the four kosos have to have g'day mezigas kos yafe. We're going to explain what that means. The shta'an chai yatza, shta'an bevas achas yatza. If you eat, if you drink them undiluted, right? The way that they used to walk around and make wine was that they used to have a pouch that had kind of like a syrup or a concentrate, and you put water into them. So there was a certain amount of water that you had to put in. If you didn't really do it properly, so that would be chai. Shtan chai yata. It's fine. Shtan bevas achas yata. If you drink them, all four of them, all at once, let's say if that's what that means, somehow you drink it all at once, yata. Hishkeman levanov uluv neveso. Yatza, if you split it up with your children, meaning you're not going to have enough, so then you're also yotze. Okay, what does this all mean? So we'll unpack one by one. Shtan chay yatza, Amar Rava, yidei yayin yatza, yidei cherus lo yatza. Rava says, let's go back a second. When we say shtan chay, when we say that you drank it raw, so to speak, in other words,
undiluted.
Insufficiently diluted. Yedei yayin yatza, yedei cherus lo yatza. You were yotze the mitzvah of wine, but not yotze the mitzvah of cherut. What does that mean? We're going to have to return. All right? Get back to it. Shtan bevas achas, rav amar, yedei yayin yatza, yedei arba kosos lo yatza. The second one, if you If you drink it all at once, so Rav says again, Yidei Yayin, you fulfilled the mitzvah of Yayin, but Arba Kosos, obviously, you weren't Yotze because you didn't drink it in the proper way. What it means that you drank it all at once, we're going to return to, but suffice it to say that you didn't drink four Kosos at four different points in the Seder.
And presumably make four Brachot.
Well, yeah, definitely. Hishkam and the Vnav Uvnei Veso, Yatza. Amar of Nachmar Yitzchak Vuhu Da Ashti Ruba Da Kasa. What happens if you split it up? You mean you make the bracha and then you start just giving it to everybody else? You're yotze, okay, but you have to have had. Rav Nachman says you have to have rov kos. Okay.
What is the mitzvah? I mean, there's like three different things that we're saying yotze, lo yotze.
Excellent. Exactly. Exactly. What are we talking about here? What's going on? So let's use the Rashbam to start off. So the Rashbam says. Start with Shtan Chai. It's the fourth wide line. Shtan Chai. Shalom Azgan B'mayim. You didn't dilute it with water. Yatsa. Ukagon Sheyesh B'Raviyas Log D'Babatzir M'Raviyas Lav Klumhu. You have to have some water in there because without that it's nothing. T'Chiyech D'Mazak B'Inan Raviyas Bein Hakol Hachinami Chai B'Inan Raviyas. You have to have at least a raviz of water in there, otherwise it's not anything. Okay, bevas achas. What does he think bevas achas means? What does it mean to drink them all at once? Ira arba'asan betoch kos echad. He claims that what our bevas achas means is that you had four kosot and you just poured them all into one big kos. But this is not his shita. Kach pirush Rabbi Shlomo. That's his grandfather's shita, and he doesn't like it. Veloni hira. I don't think it's right. What would be the Avamina? You don't even call that four kosot. That's one kos. It's one big kos. Venerally, what did he think? You just drank one cup, and then another cup, and then another cup, and then another cup, and you said, okay, good. I was the Yotzi Zayin. I had four kosot. I'm done. Okay, more reasonable. He says that's what four kosot in a row mean. Okay, now we understand what the Gemara means by four kosot in a row, either Rashi or the Rashbam. Hishkmehen b'kol kos v'kos shalosh asa kulo k'debarash l'kamen. Okay, you didn't drink the whole kos. Fine. Now, yidei yayin yatsa sheshasa arba kosos. You were yotzi in the mitzvah of wine because you had four kosot. In other words, the mitzvah of wine is to drink four kosot. Okay, so then what's the other thing? Yidecheres lo yatsa. What is that? Klamar ein zu mitzvah shleima shein chashivos ela biyayin mazug v'ani mili biyeno shalahen the daru alchad plas maya val yeno shalanu lo bayim meziga. Yidecheres lo yatsa. That's not a separate mitzvah. It just means you didn't do it in the proper way. You were yotze. You were yotze. When it says lo yatsa, what it means is you didn't do it behider. The Ran uses the word mitzvah min amufchar. He says it b'shleimos. Means you didn't do it the proper way. The proper way to drink it is to drink it not chai, but diluted. Mazug yafe. But if you don't, you don't have to go back and do anything. You're yotze the mitzvah of arba kosos. You just were supposed to do it bederech cheirus, which is not a separate mitzvah. It's part of it. It's just an extra hider. What about the other thing? What about, this is, the next one is about... what happens if you do a bevas achas? Yedeyayin yotza, here he comes. Mishum simchas yom tov. Kedetani lakamen, v'samacht b'chagecha, b'me b'samcha b'yayin. If you do it, if you just drink them all at once, so you're not yotze even the arba kosos, right? That's what he's going to say. Yedey arba kosos liyotza, v'kulon chashuv v'kos b'yishon, v'loz yoser, v'tzarech lahavi, od shlosha kosos ala seder. If you drink all four at once, one after another, you definitely are not yotze the mitzvah of arba kosos that apparently exists. So what does it mean when it says yidei yayin yatsa this time?
Simchas
yom tov. Comes out of nowhere. Mitzvah to drink wine on Pesach. On yom tov. That's what it means when it says yidei yayin yatsa.
You could do that with a tiny amount of wine.
You could do it with bread. You could do it with meat. You could do it with a nice dress. You could do it with candy. Do with anything. But Yidei Yayin Yatza is the normal way to do it. Is Yidei Simchas Yom Tov. That's Shitas HaRashbam. According to the Rashbam, how many mitzvahs are there with the drinking of the Arba Kosos?
Still one.
One exclusive to the Arba Kosos, which is Arba Kosos. Yeah. Arba Kosos. You have to drink four Kosos. Why do you have to drink four Kosos? We don't know yet. Didn't explain. We don't know from here yet. Anything else is just a cherry on the top. You know, the drinking it, mazug yafeh, what does that do for you? Adds cheiros, which is the best way of doing the mitzvah. If you fail to drink it for kosot, then you don't fulfill that part of the mitzvah. What you do is you fulfill Simchas Yontov. Simchas Yontov comes out of left field. The Gemara doesn't say anything about it. The Rashbam kind of just brings it up. Right? Rashi has the same shita. Rashi says the same thing. And Tosfos, I believe, says the same thing. If you look on the right side, Bavas Achas, Nira Kepirish Rashbam. He went out of his way to say, the Rashbam is right. Sheshtan retufin v'lo kibesh Rashi sheira arbas and letoch kosecha. The Sheshtan mashma arba kosos. Oh, sorry. Then he says, yidei yayin yotza perish yidei simchas yom tov. The salgad aitach, what would I think? Ho, v'tiknu arba kosos lo nofik midei simchas yom tov elim kein yotza yidei arba kosos. Big chiddush. Strange chiddush. I might have thought that since there's a mitzvah of arba kosos, the only way to fulfill the mitzvah of simchas yom tov is to have arba kosos. Why? Unless, perhaps, I'm just thinking of this now, just speculating. Maybe it's to drink it's the volume. Maybe the mitzvah of Simchas Yom Tov and Pesach is to drink a lot of wine. And so Simchas Yom Tov on Pesach, maybe, is a bigger shear. So if you drink all four kosot in a row, then yidei Simchas Yom Tov yatsa.
Maybe it's just the fact that you drank any wine. The fact that you had wine is... Maybe it wasn't the fact that they were just the fact that you drank some wine.
No, he says, what's the Havamina? You're right, that's the conclusion. The Havamina is, I wouldn't have been Yotzei Simchas Yom Tov if I didn't have four kosot.
You don't see anywhere else.
No, but maybe that's it. Maybe when the rabbis instituted having four kosot, Havamina was, why did they do that? So you drink more in Pesach than you do even on Sukkot or Shavuot.
Why don't you have to do it in
El Seder?
Why can't you do it the next day then?
It's part of the Seder. I don't know. I hear what you're saying. I hear what you're saying. No, maybe. Okay, so maybe I'm just reaching now. It's part of Simchas Yom Tov on Pesach is to do it as part of the Seder. It's the experience of Pesach. It's like the separate mitzvah of Simchas Yom Tov. That's the Havamina. Havamina. Conclusion is not that way. By the way, now that I've said it that way, then Rashi's not so crazy anymore. Rashi says you pour them all together into one cup. If it's about the volume, then it doesn't matter whether it's in one cup or whether it's one after the other. Not crazy. Not crazy anymore. Okay. That's Tosfos, that's Rashi. But take a look at the sheets. You turn your sheets over. Take a look at the Rambam at the top. Arba kosos ha'elu tzarech limzok ozan kadei shetia shtia areva hakol lefi hayayin ulefi das hashosa. You have to dilute them with water according to the person drinking it, however they like it, however much water that they like to have.
Even if it's nothing.
Only it's not normal for a person to have just concentrate. There is an objective shear, but I guess he's saying that, you know, you don't have to have exactly that shear. V'lo yivchos barabasan miravis yayin chai. You theoretically could dilute it. I'm sure. They already diluted it. Our wine is already diluted. It's already partly water and partly wine. Yeah. What type of wine? Right. There is an objective shear. I forget what it is right now. I think it's 1/4, but whatever.
This is what the Rambam said now.
Right. What?
It's going to say it, right?
V'lo yivchos b'arba'asan miravias yayin chai. You have to have a ravias in each one. It's a fourth. Ravias is a shear. I don't exactly know if it's a fourth, but you have to have a ravias of yayin chai. Shasa arba kozes elu mi yayin she'enu mazug yatsa yidei arba kozos v'lo yatsa yidei cherus. If you drink the four kosos from wine that's not mazug, so you fulfilled arba kosos, but you didn't fulfill cherus. Shas arba kotzas mezugin bevas achas yatzi di cheirus v'lo yatzi di arba kotzas v'im shasim mikol kotz mehen rubo yatza. This is not what our Gemara says. He says that if you drink the four kotzas from wine that's not mazug, so you fulfilled arba kotzas, but you didn't fulfill cheirus. Our Gemara didn't have arba kotzas here. It had you fulfilled the mitzvah of yayin, but you didn't fulfill the mitzvah of cheirus, right? And then shasa arba kotzas mezugin bevasachas yatzei de cheirus v'yatzei de arba kotzas. Our Gemara had if you have the four cups one after another, so you fulfilled again the mitzvah of yayin, but you didn't fulfill the mitzvah of arba kotzas. Well, definitely, the Rashbam said that in the second case, where you drank them all at once. So what did he say you did fulfill when it says Yayin? The mitzvah of? Simchas Yom Tov, as the Rashbam says. The Rambam says you fulfilled the mitzvah of Cheirus, but you didn't fulfill the mitzvah of Arba Kosos. He's not alone. The Rif says, Shzon Chai, Yati de Arba Kosos, Lo Yati de Cheirus. If you have chai, so you did the mitzvah of arba kosos, but you didn't do cheirus. Shtam v'achas yatzi de cheirus loyatzi de arba kosos. It's pretty muskum amongst everybody that they had a different girsa. That this is what the Gemara said. That in front of the Rif, in front of the Ramban, in front of the Rambam, in front of the many of the Sephardi, I guess Sephardi was shown him, seems to be. That's the version they had. Whereas in front of the Rashbam and the Rashi and Tosfos, this is the version they had.
This makes more sense, actually.
The Ran adds on, this is what I was talking to you about, mitzvah menuvchar, umiyu enu tzarech lachzor v'lishos arba kosos, because it's just not a mitzvah menuvchar. Now, here enters the Briska Rav. And the Briska Rav tries to unpack and see what's going on. What's the argument here, and how do we package these two shitos of Tosfos, let's say, and Rashbam, versus the Rambam and the Rif? And the story goes, there's a story behind this whole piece of the Briska Rav, the Chidusha Agriz, that's Rav Yitzchak Ze'ev. You had Rav Yosef Dova Levi Soloveitchik, the original, Rav Yosef Dober Levi Soloveitchik, who was the Beit HaLevi of Brisk. He was the father. He was the grandpa Soloveitchik, great-grandpa Soloveitchik, really. He had two sons. The Brisk, he might have had more than two sons, I don't want to say that, but he had at least two sons. The Brisker Rav, no, I'm misspeaking right now. Yeah, he didn't. He had one son that is famous, Rav Chaim. That's Rav Chaim of Brisk, the famous Rav Chaim of Brisk, who was a Rosh Yeshiva Velazhen, and Rabbeinu Chaim Alevi, that everybody knows, that he's the father of modern Talmudic study, the Brisker method. And then he had two sons that are famous, the Brisker Rav, Rav Yitzchak Zev, and Rav Moshe Soloveitchik. Rav Moshe Soloveitchik's son is the Rav, who was Rav Yosef Dober Soloveitchik, named for his great-grandfather. So the Brisker Rav over here, the story is, Rav Shachter tells the story based on the Rav, that this piece from the Briska Rav was developed actually 1 year in Chaslavich when Rav Moshe and the Briska Rav, Rav Yitzchak Zev, were together. Yeah. They were there for Pesach together. Yes, and what precipitated, according to the story, is that there was a shortage of wine in Chaslavich, and so they started to talk about this. And I'll tell you afterwards what's in the Nefesh HaRav by Rav Shechter about kind of how this piece, kind of halacha l'maisa, how it worked out for them. But here's what the Briska Rav has to say. He wonders about a lot of things. I'm not going to go through all the questions. We'll just go straight to the explanation of everything. He says, "V'nira lomar, b'bir adavar." Everybody see where I am? The Be'emes tremili ika b'hach mitzvah da arba kosos. There are two aspects, or two tracks for the arba kosos. And he's going to divide it up between Tosos and the Rambam, that there are two different ways of looking at the arba kosos. Dine betosos reish parakaf arvi psachim. That's artosos al hadet nan v'loyif chesulo me arba kosos kasu zel shono mitoch aloshon mashma ktsas she ein nosnim levana v'lneveso ki im laatzmo v'hu motzi as kulam bishalo. This is what the hemshech of our Gemara pointed out, that the person making the bracha has to have a rov revis, right? Remember that? That the end of our Gemara says that it has to have a rov revis, and then the rest he can give to the rest of his family. V'sfarahu the Maishna Arba Kosos Mikiddush, the Kol Hashana. It's not our Tosos, I'm sorry. What's the difference between Kiddush and the rest, the Kiddush of the rest of the year, and Pesach? Where Kiddush the rest of the year, Echad Motzi et Kulam. One person is Motzi everybody, but apparently on Pesach, you're supposed to give out the wine to everybody else. He says, why is that? Tosos wonders. Kvashamati me'avi Adoni Avi Mori Agaon Zatzal. That's Rav Chaim. Shatama al divrei atosos elu. The my inyan arba kosos the kiddush kol shana. He says, what are we talking about? What does arba kosos have to do with kiddush on Shabbos? They're two different things. The asam mitzvah hi a bracha v'zeu ikra kiddush. Because when it comes to kiddush, what's the mitzvah of kiddush? How do you fulfill the mitzvah of kiddush? Kiddush. You say the bracha of kiddush. U'bazeh v'dina d'shomeh ka'one. And that's why you don't need everybody else to drink, because the mitzvah is to say,
the word.
I'm a Kadesh Shabbos, right? And then the Hagefen there, what's the Hagefen doing there? Just so you do a mitzvah ala kos. The kos is not really part and parcel, necessarily, of the Kiddush, the drinking of the wine. The Kiddush is a standalone. The wine is something that the rabbis attached to it. It's only Darabanan, probably. It's something attached to it that's ancillary to it. It's not the mitzvah itself. The mitzvah is kiddush. Correct?
How does a Nazir fulfill
Arba Kosos? He doesn't.
It's kind of the thing that he doesn't.
Yeah, he can't.
But since it's Siddi's shirt, I mean, it's that important to mitzvah that an Ani should do it, but a Nazir...
But he took a neder.
So you can just neder after it. I mean, something that he
could. He's going to get in trouble if he does that.
You can't neder out of a mitzvah because it's Darabanan.
No, you could actually get out of a mitzvah.
Knit it out of a derived mitzvah,
though. You, if you take it kind of like on something else, then in theory, sometimes. No, you can't. But if you could take it not to put on your tefillin, and then, if that's the only tefillin that exists, in theory, let's say.
We did that once.
Yeah, we did do it. Don't want to do it now.
You can't take it there, not 3 months or another Saturday.
Don't want to do it now.
That would be
the one. Yeah, okay, that's very good, John.
Yeah.
Because that's the right. Right, your goodness.
Yeah.
That's why you can fulfill it with Shomei Kona. But with the Arba Kosos, why would you think that you'd be able to not give it over to the family members? After all, the whole mitzvah of Arba Kosos is
what?
To do what?
Drink it.
To drink it. So of course you're going to have to give it to the rest of the family. So how can Tosfos ask this question of, oh, why is it that during Kiddush on Shabbos, I don't have to give it to the kids, but for Pesach, I do have to give it to the kids. Of course you have to give it to the kids. That's the whole mitzvah. Kiddush, nobody else has to drink, because that's not the mitzvah. So Rav Chaim says, it must be that according to Tosfos, the gam ba'arba kosos ein ikar ha-mitzvah b'shtiyas ha-kosos rak b'ha-brachos shal ha-kosos. That the mitzvah of arba kosos, according to Rav Chaim, according to Tosfos, is not the drinking of the kosos, but rather is the bracha that you make on the kosos. Premise number one. That's yes, the boi pri agafen. And if that would be the case, then theoretically, only one person needs to drink, and everybody else can just... listen. Just say amen. And that's what they're all about. That's Ad Kan Dvarav. That's Rav Chaim's Chiddush based on Tosfos' question. That's his Chiddush. So it must be that's how Tosfos understands the Arba Kosos.
But how is the Amina of the Gemara that he can, if he drinks altogether, why the Gemara had the Amina that if he drinks all in one kos?
He's not Yotzei the mitzvah of Arba Kosos. If he drinks them all together, that's what the Gemara right. says.
No, but there was a reason to think that. But there was a Havamina that he will.
Well, I mean,
discussion.
But wait a second. I don't understand. Because a bracha on its own has no function. Kiddush on its own has a function because it's Mekadesh Tiyom. But you say Moreh Kriya Gafin on its own.
So let's rephrase that. What is the point of the Arba Kosos if it's just about making the bracha? What is the point? Why do we have Arba Kosos? Arba bracha.
What is the point of the bracha?
Let's break that down for a second. You were okay when we had a mitzvah to drink Arba Kosos, right?
Right.
That was okay.
Right.
Where did they come up with the idea of drinking 4 cups of wine? Why is that a thing?
The 4 mentions of the...
Arba Lashon HaSgula, yeah, you have that, but where is that? Why is that a thing, though? To drink it, why?
It is a thing.
Okay.
A
so there must be a thing, according to Tosos, of making 4 brachos.
A bracha on its own is not a thing.
Okay.
If you can't be yotzer a bracha, you can be yotzer kiddush for someone else, they say, amen, you kiddush mekadesh ayom, okay, we all agree. But you can't be yotzer someone for a bracha if they don't do
Well, let me put it to you this way.
You make shakol, right? Or you make alcohol. It's not whatever, and everyone around the table says amen because they say amen to brocha, and you drink milk. They haven't done anything.
What about Kiddush Shabbos morning?
Oh, what about Kiddush Friday night? Forget about Kiddush. Rami, let me.
They do make a bracha, Kiddush Shabbat.
You're right, but here, we don't have time, so we'll do a shortcut version of this. When you make a Kiddush on Friday night, right, you make two brachos, though. You make a Kiddush Shabbos, and you also say Borei Pri HaGafen. Mm-hmm. Why do you say Borei Pri HaGafen?
To put it on.
You have to.
So apparently, the Borei Pri HaGafen over there is to attach the drinking of wine to a mitzvah, right? But not the mitzvah of drinking wine. Nobody would say it's the mitzvah of drinking wine. Right. It's the mitzvah of a Kiddush. Right. So what we need to establish is, and the question we need to answer is, what are we attaching the Arba Kosos to? Okay. Well, can we do that? Well, let's see. Let's try. The first one is... No, forget the Lishonos. Talk about the Seder itself.
In the text of the...
When do we make the first one?
Kiddush.
All right, so that makes sense. Okay. There's a mitzvah of Kiddush. It's a mitzvah of Kiddush. Oops. The mitzvah of Kiddush, we need to make a... We do that on wine. When's the next one?
Is that also...
You know what? Let's skip to the third one. The third one. Where's the third one? Berkat HaMazon. We need a Kiddush. We need a cup of wine over there. That's what we do, right? Okay, one and three, we're good. Number two. It's at the end of. Actually, it's at the end of Magid.
Going into the meal.
Going into the meal. Excellent. Going into the meal. Well.
There's a bracha there. There's an extra bracha there.
There is. It could be that's the bracha on that mitzvah. Right? Everybody asks, why is there no bracha on the challah? Exact part. No, it's on Pesach Matzah, right? That's the bracha we make just for Pesach Matzah, right? When do we make that? The second cup is drunk.
It comes at the end of Magid.
Like the end of everything. Before the meal,
right?
Before Matzah Maror.
When we finish saying everything,
it's after Magid.
Before Pesach Matzah Maror.
The beginning of the
day. No, after Pesach Matzah Maror, I think. It's the last thing we say.
Right. Pesach Hashuma. It's right before Pesach Hashuma. Right. Yes. Somebody have a Haggadah. It's right before Pesach Hashuma.
Yeah,
correct.
Is that the part of the side room? So have you done work?
Clearly.
It's before
Mara. Before we
eat them, yeah.
I'm sorry.
But not before we talk about them.
There you got the
Haggadah. After we talked about them.
It's right after. It's right after Bechol Dor Vador. Right. So it's right before you start the meal.
Where did you find it?
But also before you do.
After you said the thing about them.
It's after you say Gal Yisrael.
And then you say Borei Pri HaGafen.
After you hold up the Pesach.
Yes. It's on that mitzvah. It's basically on that. It could be that this Agal Yisrael is the actual Birchat HaMitzvah for the Hallel and for the Magid, and then you make Borei Pri HaGafen. Why is it at the beginning and not at the? Why is it at the end and not at the beginning? You could ask. But either way, what you could say is that Birchat HaGafen is on the mitzvah of Hallel / Magid, right? Okay. It's on the mitzvah of Hallel / Magid.
Things have changed.
But Robbie, what we were saying is, it smells nice. It's on the mitzvah of Hallel / Magid, which happens at the end. You make a Gal Yisrael, you say Gal Yisrael, and then you make a Borei Pri HaGafen. It's on that mitzvah, right? Then the third one we say is on Berakat HaMazon, makes sense. And then the fourth one is on Nirtzah, right? Which is also another mitzvah. Now, I'm not making this up. What are we trying to say? What I'm trying to say is that each one of the Borei Pri HaGafens is attached to a mitzvah. You're basically doing the same thing we do with Kiddush, you're just doing to a bunch of other things. Which, you know, what Tosfos would be saying is that the Ikar over here isn't the drinking of the kos. It's the sanctifying each mitzvah with a Borei Pri HaGafen, like we do at a wedding, like we do in Kiddush, like we do at Birkat HaMazon, right? By the way, I'm not making this up. Just learning with my son, right before we came here, because it's an important sugya to learn, just in terms of understanding what goes on at the Seder. There's a dispute between Sfaradim and Ashkenazim about the brachos that we make on the cups, right? Because actually, Sfaradim only make two brachos on the cups. They have four cups, but they only make two brachos. They only make a bracha on the first and on the third. Why? Because they say,
there's no hepsicum,
make a bracha on the first, and then you just drink another cup, however long it is later, you're still on the first cup, no?
Yeah.
So why are you going to make another bracha? And then the fourth is the same problem. The third you have to, because you have to be berkat hamazon. But Ashkenazim, we make a bracha on each one. Why? Why do we make a bracha on each one? So you look at the Mishnah Berurah. He gives two answers. One answer is that because you cannot drink between the first and the second, the halacha, in the end, you can't drink between the first and the second, because you're supposed to be doing magid. So because you can't drink, so that's a hefsek. And between the third and the fourth, the same. You can't drink, so that's a hefsek. Between the second and the third, we know why. But he's not so satisfied with that answer, so he comes up with a different answer. You know what the other answer is? Because each cup is on a mitzvah. Each cup is for a separate mitzvah. The boy break up that you're saying isn't really for the cup of wine. It's for the mitzvah. It's a cup of wine that you're drinking for the mitzvah. It gets its own bracha. That's Shitas Tosfos. Tosfos is saying that each cup of wine that you're drinking is not because it's a mitzvah to drink wine. It's because each one is sanctifying another mitzvah that you do at the Seder. There are four points in the Seder where you drink a cup of wine to make sure that to concentrate on the mitzvah that you're doing. That's Tosfos stuff. All right, we'll skip part of the Brisker Rav.
The first one is for
Kiddush.
Kiddush. On top.
Yeah.
Right? The second one's for Magid
The second one is for Magid Halel, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
The third one
is for Birkat Hamazon.
Birkat Hamazon. And the fourth is
Yirtzeh.
In its own right, how's that?
It's part of it's part of the Seder. Yeah.
No, you're saying it's for a specific different mitzvah. I'm trying to enumerate the mitzvah. So it's for Korban Pesach.
You could say that. I'm not sure, but yeah.
No, otherwise I didn't say mitzvah. Otherwise, you say
that's what you.
Why did we say something?
Yeah, the Afikoman makes sense. No, it's not the Afikoman. Afikoman, you already did.
Way before.
The Afikoman, you did. No, it's for Nirtza. It's for singing. It's like Halal Nirtza.
Why have I confused? How's it? No.
It's at the end of the halal.
You know, yeah.
Like on the
field. No,
it's at the end of the end of the halal. The Afikoman is at the end of Shulchan Aruch. You already ate the Afikoman before
it's
you.
Especially on the future Guna. Because the previous one with the Lashans in the past,
Afikoman, you have it before Birkat Hamazon. Barit Bir Gafin, the last one, is right before Chasal Sidur Pesach. It's after some of the singing that you're going to do.
It's just before Nitzah. Just before Nitzah.
What?
Just before Nitzah. Just before the last bar.
Before Nitzah. That's when you have the Afikoman. Isn't it just after the Afikoman?
Here. What? Look at here.
No, the Afikoman is before the
Nitzah. Oh, they put that there? Okay. Yeah. Right, well, because they say... I don't know if you can say... Yeah.
It's just before.
It's at the end of end of Halal, when you finish Halal, the last Halal.
No, I'm just trying to find out what mitzvah is the fourth, so I could understand.
I presume it's the end of the halal.
It is.
Like the other one was also at the end of the halal. So here it's at the end of the halal.
It is the end of the halal. That's exactly.
You could ask why do we not do it at the beginning? I don't know the answer. I'm sure there's a nice pneumius answer why we don't do it at the beginning, but we do it at the end.
And I've seen this different agadot of different exact places.
For where you pour the cup, probably, not for where you drink it. Every Haggadah has a different place where you have to pick one. Somebody's going to be in charge of telling us when we drink, when we pour the wine, and we're still going to mess up. Okay, but that was Alshitas Tosos. What about the Rambam? So you look at the second column. Ulam Barambam, we saw. He says, Vim Shasim Mikol Kos Mehen Rubo Yatza. You have to have Rov Kos. You have to have Rov Kos. Ah, V'lo Yisker Klal Hacha Shi'uro. The Mole Lugmav. Okay. The Gemara said Rov Kos. The Gemara said you have to have Rov Kos. Now, what does Rov Kos mean, though? So, if you actually look, I think it's on the page when it says Rov Kos. Oh, this is so meduic. This is where it gets really, really beautiful. If you look in the Gemara, when the Gemara says Roba de Kasa, what does Tosfos say on the side? It's very short Tosfos. Hainu. Kimala Lugmav. Ugedabirish Leel. In other words, according to Tosos, when the Gemara says Ruba de Kasa, which means most of the kos, what does it really mean? Mila lugmav, a cheekful. Like a normal shear. A cheekful.
Even if you've got a huge cup.
Yes. It really means a cheekful. That's according to Tosos. It's a stretch, but we'll see it's going to be consistent a stretch. Because the Rambam doesn't say that. The Rambam just says Rov Kos. We presume he means Rov Kos. Now, why does he say Rov Kos? Because he doesn't say that elsewhere. When it comes to Kiddush, the Rambam says explicitly, you only need to drink Melo Lugmav, which is less. But here he says you need Rov Kos. Umashma disfirli diragabi kiddush, he da havi shir tin yamasam lo lugmav, avagabi arba kosas bein in davka ruba de kasa, velo melo lugmav. You need more. Avagabi arba kos, vakacha vigam shitas aramban, huva bebeis yosef, all the svarti rishonim, digami makos gadol, machzi kamar vios, sarach lishtos davka rova kos. Even if you have a big cup, the bigger cup you have to drink more. You have to drink most of the kos. This is a well known chumra that people have to drink Rov Kos. You have to have Rov Kos. Okay. Jump to the next sentence. What's going on? When it comes to Kiddush, the whole point is to make the bracha on the Kos, but not the drinking. The only reason you drink is because when you make a bracha, you have to drink. So you have to drink a little bit. You have to drink a cheekful, enough. But when it comes to abacosos, the mitzvah is to drink the kos. You have to drink all of it. But you have a separate rule that says you have to drink most of it. Really, you should have to drink all of it. But because of rov, you have to drink most of it. Is not going to cut it. That's not a proper drinking. That's enough for tasting. Here you need a drinking. The Bach actually says this. Okay. He points out that later on, also this is Mavuar, the Rambam says what does he point out? Yeah, so what the Rambam actually holds is that everybody's going to have to drink. So let's go through some of the nafkaminas. So there's a bunch of nafkaminas, but what's the general idea over here? There's machlokas between the Rambam and the other Rishonei Svarad, and Tosfos and the Rishonei Ashkenaz. I don't know whether that works across the board, but it makes sense. Which is that according to Tosfos, the drinking of the kos is ancillary. It's just because you need to drink the kos once you make the bracha. But the bracha is there to add credence and gravitas to the other mitzvot that are happening in the course of the Seder. According to the Rambam, there's a separate mitzvah of drinking wine. Now, you plug that back into their girsot of the Gemara. Kurtosos, the girsot of the Gemara was, Yidei yayin yatza, yidei arba kosos lo yatza. Yidei yayin yatza, is there a mitzvah to drink wine? No! So what does he say? Simchas Yom Tov, because there's no mitzvah, so it's just got to be Simchas Yom Tov, that's all we've got. Yidei arba kosos lo yatza, because you're supposed to be making a bracha and drinking wine for different parts of the Haggadah. Right. That's what he says. Whereas the Rambam, Yidei cheirus yatza, Yidei arba kosos lo yatza. What did he say? V'asach yatza, Yidei cheirus lo yatza, Yidei arba kosos. You were, for the Rambam, there's actually two aspects to the mitzvah of drinking the wine. One aspect is that you drink wine on Seder night to show that you're becheiros. You drink four times as a separate mitzvah. That's a separate mitzvah of drinking four times over the course of the night, maybe from the Arba Lashonos Geula, whatever it is, but that's a drinking mitzvah. It's a mitzvah of drinking.
So Tosfos is no becheiros.
No, Cheres, for him, what did he say to Cheres was? No, Cheres, he said something else. Cheres, he said, was a Shleimus HaMitzvah. Shleimus HaMitzvah. It's an add-on. It's an aspect. It's not a mitzvah in and of itself. There's an add-on part that the best way to do it is to do it b'Cheres, but it's not a mitzvah in and of itself. It's just a nice way to do it. It's a nice way to do it. There is an aspect to it, but it's not ma'akev. That's the point. It's not the mitzvah.
So Tosfos has very weak, no link between seva and leaning and showing that you're free and the kosher of the wine. The wine is simply to because you can't make a bracha without.
A seva could be separate. A seva could be a din in the.
So
I guess in the eating. In the eating, when it comes to the mitzvah, eating, anything you eat as a mitzvah should be done by
Hasidim. The concept of showing freedom or anything like that by drinking 4 glasses of wine, and that's a nice thing to do, and relaxing. The wine for him is
it's not the ikar. It's not the ikar.
A functional thing because you can't make a brocha and not drink wine.
Right. It's not the ikar. I wouldn't say it's nothing, but it's not the ikar.
Well, it's nice.
So, but I wanted to tell you, so what happened? So the Brisker Rav and his brother were talking about this. So it's recorded about the story that in that year there was a dearth of, there was a shortage of wine. So they were trying to figure out what they should do. Is it better to have every, to get wine and then have everybody drink, but basically people won't have enough to drink everything, or to have one person drink for everybody? So they decided that if they just split it up, then they can't do anything. But if they at least have one person drink the Arba Kosos,
nominated,
and he says the brachas for each one, at least you can chop Tosfos 100%. Because for Tosfos, only one person at the Seder has to actually drink.
Yeah. And you only have to drink a cheekful.
He has to drink just a cheekful. He has to drink just a cheekful. He just has to make sure that he drinks Arba Kosos at four different points, and everybody else is Yotzei Shomeka Ona. But then they said to each other, well, maybe we can also chop Rambam. We can use Chamar Medina. We can use something else. Tea. Tea, maybe, probably not, but something. Something you could use Chamar Medina to be Yotzei that. In other words, everybody else will drink something else, so and that will help them. Good, so then they said that nothing is added by doing that. He says maybe they wanted to do sheyeh b'fnei kol echad v'echad b'fnei abayis kol shel chamer medina v'iskimu shneim lomar she'ein baza shum hidur nosaf, nothing is added to b'chamer medina in yotzin yidei mitzvos cheirus elarak yidei mitzvos arba brachos ala kos. What did the Gemara say? The Gemara says that you need, in order to be yotzin, according to the Rambam, he said in order to be yotzin in the mitzvah of cheirus, what do you need? They have to be mazuk, yayin mazuk. It has to be proper wine. It has to be something that's chash of a wine. This is definitely not mazuk. So the only thing you can be yotze with them is arba kosos. But first of all, it's not wine. But second of all, we already did because we got the people to make the bracha for us, right? So he said nothing is added really because the only thing the Rambam wants you to do is to have wine. And you're not going to have wine.
Ironically, the only person who that would satisfy is Tosfos, but you're going to be satisfied anyway because you're
exactly. Tosfos is already satisfied. So in the end, they said you don't need to do it. And that was like the background of this whole piece was that it actually happened, according to Rav Shachter, according to the Rav, it actually happened, and that's where this whole thing was noveah from. There were a few other of nafkamines. Obviously, nafkamine is Melo Lugmav and Rov Ravias. That's black and white in Afkamina. Tosos explicitly says that Rov Kos here means Melo Lugmav. And the Rambam says explicitly, pretty much, that it means you have to have Rov Kos. So that's really, really black and white.
Sorry, going to what we said before, so that Rashi drank one big cup of four.
No, he says that you couldn't. He said that's not going to do anything. Rashi says, Shton Bevas Achas means that you drank one big cup of wine. And Tosos says, the Rashbam says, no, it means that you drank four kosos one after another. But everybody agrees that's not going to work.
I thought that's why
it was. Yidei yayin yatsa simchas yom tov. We didn't go to the end of the Gemara that talks about red wine, that it's important to have red wine.
No, that's not enough for grape juice.
What?
Not enough convenience for grape juice.
Right, so another enough, actually, yes.
That's a cake for
well,
wine.
Wine is
not
good. Everybody seems to agree. Well, not everybody, but most seem to agree that.
You make a guffin on it, but it wouldn't satisfy the Rambam, I don't think. Or actually, because he knew about wine.
All right. Shkayach. Chai kasher sameach.
So next time after